Church family, welcome. Thank you for coming here tonight. It's going to be a good time to be together. Before we open, I will put the words up on the slide because sometimes we don't know those words, and it's a beautiful couple of songs that they're doing. But we're going to open up in prayer. We just have some prayer needs that we do need to pray for. Somebody mentioned to me Alden that definitely needs prayer, and then also our friend Orville needs some prayer too. He's doing okay, but just he could use some prayer tonight. I know Gary and Paula would be here, but he was around somebody with COVID. He's feeling great, but he's just going to stay home for tonight. I hate COVID. But nonetheless, we're going to pray. And I know there's some others. We have a dear friend, Bill Penio, part of our church family, off and on over the years. He passed away here a couple days ago, so we're going to pray for his wife, Connie. And then some of you haven't heard this, but sadly, Roy Brewer, he passed away here just yesterday. He came down with a cancer report last month, and it actually wasn't necessarily the cancer, but he just had other medical complications. And so, got to pray for Arlene, his wife. I just pray for comfort. He's been a dear friend, a dear couple. They used to come here almost every year. They would minister to our church. So we're going to pray for them. And anybody else have a request that you would like us to pray for? Anybody? All right, well, let's stand together, and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your goodness right now, God. And we do lift up Arlene Brewer. We lift up Connie Penio. And, Lord, for these precious women whose spouse, Lord, their husband's gone on to be with you, Lord, we pray for just your peace, your love to surround them. We pray, God, that you would strengthen them and surround them with loving family, loving friends, God, and that you would just undergird for them right now. In Jesus' name. Father, we lift up a friend named Alden, Lord, going in for a medical procedure, Lord, that's quite serious. And we just pray, God, that you would touch him by the grace of God. We pray for the doctors, that you would use their hands skillfully. We lift up Alden, actually Orville as well. And just pray, God, that you would touch Orville, give him comfort and peace, Lord, as he's home tonight. Thank you for Gary and Paula Rell. And we just pray for your protection of healing and health over their lives, God. We thank you so much for them. In Jesus' name. And Lord, for any requests that may not have been mentioned here tonight, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who hears and answers prayer. We look to you this evening right now, Lord, as we sing a couple of songs of worship. We just pray for your presence, Lord, to fill this sanctuary, Lord. But more importantly, God, that you would fill our lives to overflowing with all of your fullness. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go back and do the slides for now, but thank you, Steve and Charlene, for being here, and they're going to lead us in a couple of songs, and then we'll get into our Bible study.
Thank you. Promise. sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you.
So what can I say?
So what can I say? And what can I do?
Is weighed down with the burdens and cares of this world. But Lord, right now we give you our heart, Lord. What can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Jesus, right now we offer our heart, our life, our soul to you completely, Lord. And we just ask that you would fill us to overflowing, Lord, with your goodness, with your love, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. Lord, I thank you for these who have gathered here this evening, for those who are watching right now. Lord, we are hungry for you. Lord, we are thirsty for you. God, we ask that you would just pour out your good Holy Spirit, Lord, in a magnificent way. Lord, that you could change us from glory to glory, that you could conform us to the image of Christ. Lord, take these hearts of ours. Lord, change them. Lord, where there is a hard heart, I pray that you would make it a soft heart. Lord, where there is a fearful heart, I ask, God, that you would make it a courageous heart. Lord, I ask, where there is an unbelieving, doubting heart, Lord, let it become a heart full of faith in Jesus' name. Lord, where there is a heart that has just been so hurt, Lord, it doesn't know how to love anymore, God, I ask that you would fill these hearts with the awesome love of God in Jesus' name. Lord, open our eyes through the Word of God, and Lord, by the illumination of your Spirit, Lord, to see that what is impossible for man is so very possible for God. Lord, when we have those thoughts go through our mind that, no, I can't change, no, I'm just going to be this way the rest of my life, Lord, may we reject those thoughts. May we cast aside those vain imaginations, those thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, to say, you know what, I may have been this way for a lot of years, but you know what, with God, all things are possible because of the shed blood of Jesus, because of His good Holy Spirit. He is able to change me and to transform me to become the person that He has called me to become. Lord, we receive faith by the living Word of God in Jesus' name. Lord, we receive every promise that You have given to us right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Steve and Charlene. I appreciate you very much. And it is good to be in the Lord's presence. And you know what? Even if it has been a long day or a week, it's still a good day in Jesus' name. You know, that was just dropped in my heart as they were playing here. That, you know what, sometimes you've been, there's no kids in here. Well, kids at heart, I hope. But you know what, when you've been a certain way for a lot of years, you can have those thoughts go through your mind. You know, it's like you feel like, you know, when you have tires that go through a muddy road, you know, and the tire tracks just get deeper and deeper and deeper. And sometimes Satan can try to deceive us and trick us and make us feel like, you know what, you're never going to change, you're never going to grow. And I'm like, wait a second, no. With man, if you just try self-help, if you just try in your own effort and strength, of course you can't change. But you know what? We don't serve a God who is into self-help. We don't serve a God who is into you simply trying to become a better person. If that's all it is, we may as well close the house and just go to Barnes & Noble. Go find some self-help book, you know what? But there, you can't help this flesh. This body that we live in, Jesus has already shown that this body, it's got to be crucified, so to say, because this flesh has so many sinful desires and cravings. This body itself isn't sinful, but the desires that we have that are sinful, it's like, you know what? We need to consider that, Lord, I have been crucified with Christ. That old me that is just have those habits, those thoughts, those patterns, those behaviors, those things that I think I can't change, those memories that I have a hard time letting go of, you know what? The best way to deal with those is just to give it to Jesus and say, Lord, if I consider and reckon that I have been crucified with Christ on a daily basis, you know what? Little by little, you begin to change because you realize, Lord, wait a second. That old me is dead and buried. That old me was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Jesus Christ lives in me. My prayer, partly tonight, it is a part of the message, is that God would begin to deposit faith in our hearts by the Word of God that we read tonight to realize, Lord, I want to acknowledge that there are some personality traits. Some people are they like to cook, or they like to bake, or they're tinkers. They like to fix things, repair things. I have a good friend named Kenny who might be watching, and he likes to fix things and repair things and work on old cars and things. And God's not necessarily going to change that type of a personality. But what He can change is our heart, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Where is the book of Ezekiel? Well, it's just past halfway through the Bible in my Bible. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, chapter 36. And the title for the message for this evening is God's Dwelling Place, Our Heart. God's Dwelling Place, Our Heart. We want God to dwell in our hearts. Why? Because if it's only in a sanctuary, in a building, then we're in a whole heap of trouble and we're not in the sanctuary. I want God to dwell in my heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, and we're going to begin to read verse 24. I still hear a few pages turning there. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. God says, "For I will take you from among the heathen, and I will gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land." I just had an idea what we can do for the internet. Who likes to read? All of a sudden, everyone clammed up. Like, what? They're going to hear my voice. Jacob, do you like to read all right? Ezekiel, I'm going to have you read, though you'll be the first one to read. Ezekiel chapter 36, and you're going to begin to read verse 24, and I will have you reading up to verse 29. I may say, hold on just a minute. That means I want to elaborate on what you're reading there a little bit. So go ahead and begin to read verse 24 and 25 first, please. And get it close enough so that way they can hear you and we all can hear you.
Alrighty. Well, it says, "For I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you home again to your land."
Hold on. There is something about your land, where you come from. Now, you may feel like in our modern day culture, it doesn't seem like that because sadly some people, they've wandered most all their life. When I was a kid, it felt like we moved quite a bit. And the longest I'd lived in one house was like 4 years in one city, one town. We just moved, and man, it was a great upbringing. And now that I've been here at this place, it's the longest I've ever lived in one place. It is nice to have a place that you can call home. You know what? We have a heavenly home, church, that we're getting ready to go to. But it's not just a heavenly home. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, new world. And God made us to have a home, a place to dwell, most definitely with Him. Sorry, Jacob. Go ahead in verse 25 now.
25.
Yes.
"Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. And you will live in Israel, the land I gave your ancestors long ago. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will cleanse you from your filthy behavior. I will give you good crops of grain, and I will send no more famines on the land."
Thank you. And it goes on with the blessings that God will give. In verse 29, Jacob, who does the cleansing from all of our filthy behavior?
God does.
You don't do it?
No, it says, he says that he does it.
It says, I will read that first half of that verse 29 one more time. I like that translation, by the way.
"I will cleanse you of your filthy behavior. I will give you good crops of grain, and I will send no more famines upon the land."
Sometimes we feel like we have to clean up our act before God can love us. But you know what? God loved us when we were in our most filthy act, so to say. The most worst sin that you can imagine. I want to clarify something. It's not that God loved the sin that we were doing or that was being done towards us. But God loved us even when we were at our messiest, most angry, most hurtful point in our life. God loved us. And God there says in verse 29 that I will cleanse you, or verse 20, I will cleanse you from all of your uncleanness, King James says. That is beautiful because if you ever had like magic marker on you, like permanent marker on you or something, or you've been dirty, you've been working on diesel in the oil and stuff like that, you got something really dirty on your hands that you just can't get off. Anybody had that happen before? Well, that is a somewhat of a good illustration of sin or the filthiness of this world. Just by virtue of the fact that we live in this world, it's a dirty place, so to say. Not only physically with the dust and the dirt, but morally, the things that we have to see with our eyes and hear with our ears, the conversations that we hear, it just kind of makes us feel unclean. Well, when you're trying to wash off that diesel fuel or that oil or whatever is just stained your hands, sometimes you scrub and you scrub and you scrub and you just can't get it off. Well, God, by His loving grace and mercy, He's the one that can cleanse us from all of the filthiness of this world. Satan, again, I don't mean to mention him too much. I don't want to give him more credit than it's due, but somehow in our mind, he reminds us through our thought life of all the filthiness. I call it all the ick and the ook of this world, all the yucky, ducky, ugh, all the stuff. But God cleanses us, and He washes us, and He renews us. He purifies us. Why? Because God is holy. And it's a beautiful thing that God is holy. Why? Because if you imagine the most beautiful wedding that a person could possibly imagine, where all the outfits, the dresses, everything is just impeccably beautiful. It's like you just don't want to touch it because it's so clean. Well, God in His holiness is absolute purity, pure love, pure kindness, pure justice, pure everything, absolute purity. It's a purity and a holiness that ought to draw us and say, Lord, I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of what is unclean. So God here promises something amazing there in verse 25. After he gathers us out of all the countries, it says he will sprinkle clean water upon us and we will be clean from all of our filthiness and from all of our idols. Who will cleanse us? God will cleanse us. Now there is a balance of scripture. Keep your fingers here. And I'm going to turn and read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Not to where I want to suggest that we have no participation with the Lord in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I really ought to read up chapter 6, verse 17. It's talking about being separate, not unequally yoked, but I don't want to, sometimes I'm on overload for people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, therefore, come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That sounds very similar to chapter 36 of Ezekiel, where God says that we shall be his people and he will be our God in verse 28. But in chapter 7 of verse 1, God says, since we have these amazingly wonderful, precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So how do we participate in this cleansing? We cannot cleanse ourselves from our sin, from the stain, from the dirt of sin. We cannot do it. What we can do is receive the blood of Jesus, his sacrifice. When we do have communion here, I speak about it often, where we acknowledge that Jesus, you died on that cross for my sin. You shed your blood for the forgiveness of my sin. Lord, I ask that you would cleanse me. And that is what cleanses you. What you will find then is once you're all cleansed by Jesus' precious blood, is all of a sudden you might leave the sanctuary, you might get into your car or go home or whatever, and the Holy Spirit, I don't want to be Holy Spirit in your life, but the Holy Spirit may begin to point out areas in your life. It's different for everybody that says, you know what, you're all clean. Don't go back to this particular place, or don't continue in this particular friendship relationship. Don't continue watching this particular media or show or whatever. What you're allowing through your eye gate and your ear gate, what you're allowing, why? Because that, it just like recontaminates. It just repollutes. And you know what? Then you have to, oh, Lord, I'm sorry again, so to say. I used to watch a lot of, I'll bring up one example, but this is not to lay a standard like you are supposed to do this, you have to do this. I just want to give an example. When I was, before I was a Christian and in my early Christian days, I used to watch a lot of action type of movies, like the, I don't know, the shoot 'em up ones, James Bond type of movies, you know, those kind of ones. I used to watch them, and then all of a sudden I found in a couple years into my walk with the Lord, I'd be at the theater, whatever, watching, and you know, your heart's just racing, just pounding because, you know, they're going after the bad guy, whatever. And for me individually, I don't throw any stones if people watch action stuff, but for me individually, I just felt pricked in my heart, like, why am I watching this? Because my heart would just get all racing and pounding, and I didn't exactly feel super close to the Lord after that. And by my own choice, I stopped going. Did that make me a better Christian than everyone else? No. It simply kept me out of that particular area that for me, it wasn't being helpful or beneficial. Second area, music. When I was in college, I would listen, early college days, freshman year, I was listening to a lot of secular music. And it was sappy stuff and bad stuff, depressing stuff. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit, by his goodness, he prompted me, says, son, why are you listening to that stuff? Well, it's because what I've been listening to for years. Everyone else is. And I began to, he says, how do you feel? What's going on in your heart? And I'm like, well, I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm in the dumps. I'm in the blues. And all of a sudden, I turned it off. Not because I had to. It didn't mean I would not be able to stay a Christian if I was listening to it. It had simply to do with the condition of my heart. And I didn't like how it was making me feel, the mood, the attitude, what was going on inside of me. I was like, it just kind of agitates me inside. I just don't like this. I'll share an illustration. I'll leave it. I won't share it because sometimes I don't have permission. It was a similar illustration about music. Somebody, I'll leave completely nameless, was at a work environment. And at this work environment, they're listening to death metal music. What a name, death metal. And this person didn't really like the music, and the coworker could figure out, like, boy, you just really don't like this music, do you? And this particular guy says, well, you know, it's just that I'm not angry inside anymore. And the music just stirs up anger. And you know what was amazing? And that's all he said. What was amazing is the coworker clicked it off. Didn't argue about it. He didn't slam the music. It's horrible music. He's like, you know, there was a time when I probably would have listened to it and liked it, but I'm just not angry inside anymore, and that it's just angry music. He said it nicely. And so how about for us with Ezekiel, and where the Lord says that he will cleanse us? Well, how does he cleanse us? Only because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross can we ever be cleansed. Please say amen. Amen. All the stuff of, well, Pastor Steve isn't watching action-packed movies and all this stuff, that's irrelevant to you at this moment. How does God bring cleansing to you, and how do we just cooperate, or should I say respond to that cleansing? Is God will prompt you. He'll speak to you about who knows what. And he'll say and just speak to you like, how is this doing? Is this being a benefit? Is it helping you? Is this encouraging you? Or is this bringing you back down memory lane, so to say? Does that make sense? Can anybody relate or have a brief illustration or example that you'd be willing to share that the whole world could hear? Come on, please. This will be helpful for somebody.
Well,
this is Eric. Everybody say, hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric. No, okay, so... there's used to be certain things like, you know, I'm going to sound like a horrible person. Certain things on the internet, how about that? And that I would, in the past, before I became saved and everything, I would laugh at. And I am not kidding you. I find it disgusting now. I don't, and I'm not talking crazy stuff like, you
yeah.
know, other, just something that, for some reason, it changed within the last months.
Wow.
And it just happened.
That's awesome.
And so that's why I could pop one off for you.
Thank you very much, Eric. Anyone else? Joyce? Everybody say, hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Hi, Joyce.
Thank you. Long years ago, I can say that long years ago, because I'm in those upper ranges now. Anyway, I used to watch soap operas, constantly soap operas, every soap opera there was, and I used to hate them whenever I was a kid. I didn't do it, but when I got married, oh boy, I had every soap opera on there was. But the Lord started dealing with me because what was the point? Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. I had more drama going on in my own family than I needed there. And he was so good to just Amen. Show me. Those are not the things that I needed to have to follow. But he was the one. He Amen. Wanted to get me to that place so that my life wasn't a drama anymore. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Joyce. And then I think where the churches have gone wrong in the past, and I could be guilty of this too. I am part of a church, if that makes sense. But is where churches in the past have made rules. I think Elna could remember, because she's so young. Was there ever a time in the church when playing cards was absolutely sinful? I mean, that was the worst thing you could possibly do, to play any kind of cards. Roller skating, possibly. Couldn't go. Yeah, I can't go down these areas too far because I don't want to get off track too far, but where it gets off track is if I or we start imposing on other people and policing and trying to judge. Well, so you went to go see the new Top Gun movie, huh? You're just not as close to God. No, we're just sharing. I don't know if anybody, why did I say that? God's desire is to be, to have a dwelling place in our heart. And again, God loves you, church. He loves you so very much. And my desire tonight, what I believe the Lord wants to help us with, is he wants his dwelling place to be in our hearts. Yes, he dwells in heaven. That's his home, so to say. But he wants to live inside of you and I. And there can be an irritation, a misunderstanding, a frustration of, God, why do I struggle Monday through Saturday, so to say, and then I get a little bit of encouragement on Sunday morning, and I kind of sense that you're here and you're with me, and I'm excited, like, all right, I'm going to have a good week, and then Monday smacks me right across the head, so to say. Well, sometimes when God cleanses us, my wife can relate to this. I don't think she'd mind me sharing this, but she can have the house spick and span clean, and it doesn't take the kids, because all kids are like this, by the way. They can have the house just like she never did a thing in 5 minutes. And we can do the same thing spiritually, where the Lord can clean house. And oh, we look at it, it's like, wow, oh, thank you, Lord, you're so good. Thank you. I feel so clean. I feel pure. I feel your love, oh God. And then somebody calls us, somebody texts us, or that internet website, that news site, it doesn't matter what it is, something pops up. And all of a sudden, all that cleansing that God does, it's like this little tornado has just gone through our house. And it's as if there was never a cleansing. Can you relate? Well, Lord, how do we participate? How do we walk with you in this cleansing? It's not that you cleanse yourself. If you go see Top Gun or not or whatever, that's irrelevant at this moment. It's, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, would you speak to me, Lord? Are there areas of my life, things on the internet, there's other music, it doesn't matter. Lord, what do you want to do in my life, Lord, that my heart could become a more peaceful habitation for you, Lord, in Jesus' name? In Ezekiel, God promises here, Jacob, if you could read one more time, I'll give you the mic, because I like that translation. Is that New Living? Ezekiel 36, verse 26, that God, he gives us a new heart. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, please. And read verse 27 as well. Those two verses, please.
26 and 27. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. 27. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations.
That sounds like a loving God to me. He will take out my stony, stubborn heart and give me what kind of a heart? A responsive?
A tender, responsive heart.
And then he will also place his spirit within inside of us, church. And it says in Old King James that he will put his spirit within us and cause you to walk in his statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That sounds like a great bargain. Where the Lord calls us to himself, we recognize and acknowledge, Lord, this world is so sinful and hardened, and Lord, I have participated in that sin and in that hardheartedness, so to say, and Lord, I come before you and ask that you would cleanse me. Lord, I present to you the stony, stubborn heart that I have, oh God. Lord, would you give me a brand new, soft, tender, responsive heart to you? And not just that, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, as your Spirit then fills me, and notice when the Spirit comes, after the heart is changed. When God takes that stony, hard heart out. My dad was in a hospital back in, I think, late 80s when he had a heart attack, and a pastor, associate pastor guy, walked into the hospital room, and this was the verse, Ezekiel 36, 26, the pastor guy read to my dad when he was in the hospital room and he had communion together. My dad, he took the EKG paper that they have when they do the monitor test on you, and he grabbed a hold of it. It was a God moment. He grabbed a hold of that at that moment and says, Lord, thank you. This verse is for me. And he checked himself out of the hospital. I don't recommend that unless God truly tells you to do it. But he checked himself out, and he's like, thank you, Lord. But not just for the physical heart. He was claiming that for the spiritual heart. To realize, Lord, what's impossible for man is possible for God. I have friends who are watching, possibly friends here, that you feel like, Lord, my heart is so hard at times. It feels so stubborn at times, God. Lord, I've tried to change myself, and I can't change myself. And God sees that. He hears that. He understands that. And I want faith to rise in our hearts to say, okay, Lord, we acknowledge that. But Lord, we sung a song here at the very beginning. Lord, what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. And as you offer that heart to the Lord, He is the great physician to say, Lord, give me that pliable, responsive heart to your Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, fill me with your good Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. God's desire is that He would change that heart, that He would then cleanse us, fill us with His Spirit, and that He would save us from all of our uncleanness. Philippians chapter 2, if you'll turn there, please. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 12 and 12-16. Who else likes to read? We'll have a lady read, maybe. Any ladies like to read? Not that the guys can't read. Go in once, go in twice. Philippians chapter 2, do you have it? Oh, that's okay. Do you want to read? Okay, that's all. I won't make you. I promise I won't. Jacob's going to volunteer to read again. He's got a good translation. Yes. Go ahead, Jacob. Verse 12 through 16, Philippians chapter 2.
12 through 16. Okay. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share with your joy.
Thank you, Jacob. Here he exhorts us to obey the Lord and what we're able to obey, what we've learned to obey. And now when Paul's talking to this church, he says, since he is absent, to continue to walk in obedience and to work out, in Old King James, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Jacob's, the New Living Translation says to read the last statement of verse 12, the last phrase of verse 12.
And now that I am away, mm-hmm. It is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear.
Work hard to show the results of your salvation. There's a cooperation that goes with the Lord, a responding to God's grace, a responding to God's word, to say, Lord, you have saved me. Lord, you have called me out of a life of sin. You have called me out of darkness. Lord, you have now called me into light. And so, Lord, as now I walk, that song, I Walk Upon Salvation, I used to always wonder about that phrase, but it's like you're working out that salvation. You're walking it out and say, Lord, you've worked it in, and I'm walking it out in Jesus' name. Why? Because here the amazing thing in verse 13 is it is God who is working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. God is working in you both to will, that's up here, that stubbornness, He's working in us the desires, and the ability to do His good pleasure. That is an awesome joining together where we're not on our own trying to save ourselves. No, it's an acknowledging of worship to say, Lord, you have saved me, you have rescued me. God, I want your dwelling place to be in my heart. Lord, you have filled me, and you are working in this mind the desires and the ability to work for your good pleasure. And then he goes on to say in the next verse, it seems like it doesn't make sense, but it makes a whole lot of sense here. Read verse 14, Jacob.
Do everything without complaining and arguing.
Why do you think he tells us to do everything without, in view of the fact that God is working in us, why does he say to do everything without complaining and arguing? Why do you think so?
It's a benefit to others.
Shannon?
Yeah?
What did you say?
Being able to serve God.
Being able to serve God. What were you saying, Joyce?
By faith and his trust.
By faith and his trust. Do all things without murmuring, arguing, complaining. I said this at another time of teaching here earlier this week. Have you ever walked into a room and like, boy, the tension is so thick you could cut it with a knife? Well, when the Lord is working in you, if you're arguing, murmuring, or complaining, what that happens is it just totally... It's not that God has abandoned you. It's not that he's abandoned me, but we're not cooperating with him and his grace when we do that. Why? When we're arguing or complaining or grumbling, we're not recognizing, wait a second, Lord, you're working in me and through me. I think about Moses sometimes, and I tell you, this causes great fear and trembling. Moses, he had a lot to deal with. And he had people who were just arguing, nitpicking, complaining. And Moses, he struck the rock. Remember, water comes gushing out. And the other time, God tells Moses to speak to the rock, and water will come gushing out. And Moses, in anger, he smites that rock, just beats it. And because of that, the Lord says, you're not going to enter into the promised land, Moses, because you did not set me aside as holy in the eyes of the people. I'll just say this. I would never have made it to what, I would have been one of the children of Israel, the 10 spies, or one of the many, many that like died and like the earth opened up and swallowed me up. I'll say that's where I would have been. But I read verses like those, like Moses, he's striking the rock and do all things without murmuring and complaining. I'll say this in a home environment, a work environment, an environment where you live amongst a lot of people. God's dwelling place, our heart. Of recognizing, Lord Jesus, if I want you to dwell in my heart and there to be a recognition where I am aware of you dwelling in my heart, and hopefully others may be aware that you're dwelling in my heart because of the peace and the love and the joy and the faith that I'm walking in, if I begin mouthing and verbalizing, murmuring, complaining, that's not going to create anything, an environment of God dwelling in, is it? It's going to be like, man... So we don't do that. Why? Because God's trying to work through us. So as we do all things without murmuring, complaining, it says, verse 15, that we would be blameless, harmless, sons of God, children of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom we shine as lights in this world. And so here, getting back to Ezekiel, that God says that he will take out our stony, stubborn heart. He will give us a soft, a tender, a responsive heart, that he will place his spirit within inside of us, and he would then enable us to walk in his statutes. That is my prayer for us this evening, that our hearts would be presented to God in such a way to realize, Lord, I can't do this on my own, but Lord, I can certainly hold on to this scripture by faith and to say, Lord, each day, that I'm able, Lord, I want to go by faith to you to say, Lord, I want that soft, tender heart, Lord. Lord, I want a heart, Lord, that is filled with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, it only comes by the living word of God, by the power of your Spirit. Lord, there is not a man on planet Earth that can change his stony heart by himself. There's not a man on planet Earth, Lord, who can get over his stubbornness. Lord, only by the grace of God as we present ourselves to you, Lord, you change that heart in Jesus' name. God's dwelling place, our hearts. God is wanting to bring us, to put inside of us soft hearts, pure hearts, honest and good hearts, gentle and lowly hearts, pure hearts again. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, this was a parable, the last verse in the parable of the four soils. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Jesus talks about a good and an honest heart. Why is there such a spiritual battle that we see? There are so many reasons for it, but I'll tell you, the spiritual battle that we are going through in this world, so much of it is to try to corrupt the heart of man even more than ever, to discourage the hearts of men, to bring fear and anxiety into the hearts of man, anger into the hearts of man. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Jesus says, but on the good ground are those who, with an honest and a good heart, they have heard the word of God, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. The good ground-hearted people are those with an honest and a good heart. They hear God's word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. There's something to be said about a good and an honest heart. If you sense in your heart that, Lord, my heart's not very good or it's not very honest, that's where Holy Spirit comes into play. And if there's dishonesty, are you being honest with yourself and are you being honest with others? That's what I love about the gospel, because the gospel does not want hypocrisy. Jesus really thoroughly rebuked hypocrisy. Sadly, people think that Christianity, like, well, I just don't want to be a hypocrite. I have good news. God doesn't want you to be a hypocrite either. He wants your heart to be presented before him, and he wants you to be thoroughly honest with him and honest with other people, so to say, where you're not pretending to be something that you're not. That's where humility, meekness, lowliness of heart comes into play, because you're not pretending. Does that make sense? I don't know if it drives some people nuts. Maybe it doesn't. I try to be honest in my messages about where I'm at and what I'm going through, because I don't want you to put me up on a pedestal like, man, that guy's got it all together. Man, he's just whatever this. Like, no, I'm just like you, and I'm still figuring this out in Jesus' name. In a sense of wanting to give hope, to say, God's working on his church. He's working on us. Does that make sense? And so an honest and a good heart, a soft heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, talking about our heart again. Second Timothy chapter 2 talks about calling on the Lord with those out of a pure heart. Jacob, again, because you're volunteered for this, buddy. 2 Timothy 2, 22. Read 22 and 23 first, before we get on to the next verses, please. Those two verses.
Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts.
So run from anything that stirs up youthful lusts, desires. Okay, amen. Instead, follow after, pursue after things like righteousness, faith, charity, peace. And read the last half of that, verse 22, please, and then go to verse 23.
Enjoy the companionship of those who call upon the Lord with pure hearts.
Okay, hold on. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. When I was in Bible college, I went to Evangel College in Springfield, Missouri, my freshman year. It was a big, somewhat, it wasn't nothing like UW. It's actually small in comparison to like a university. But it was a college campus that I was utterly shocked on. I'd be careful though. It's just life. It's reality. I thought when I went there, everybody was going to be a Christian and everybody was going to like want to worship God and just go to prayer meeting and just go after God. But what I found was there was other young people there who were away from home, and they were away from home and away from the Lord. And by God's grace, he helped me find a little group that went to morning prayer meeting. And I went to that group, and it was a finding comfort. What is it? Read that second half of that verse again. Verse 22.
Enjoy the companionship of those who call upon the Lord with pure hearts.
Okay. I had a choice to make when I went to college, and we have choices today that we can make. Instead of finding friends there were sadly kids who would go off campus and do things you ought not to do, by God's grace, he prompted me, you know what? I saw a little flyer or something that alerted me that there was a chapel there and they had this morning prayer meeting before breakfast. And something alerted me in my heart, my spirit, you should go to that. And I went to that, and you know what? I found some friends that were good companions, and we would call on the Lord just from a pure heart. We just wanted God. That's all we wanted. And you know what? It brought a benefit to my life. I could have found other friends that were just out having a good time, running the town and doing things you ought not to do. But I was like, I need to find some friends and companions who want to go after Jesus as well. And so there's a blessing for that. Verse 23, Jacob.
Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only starts fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone and be able to teach and be patient with different difficult people.
All right. There's a lot of things that we can argue about. And I'm trying to learn not to argue about different things, church. But watch, if you want God to dwell in your heart, be alert that there will be times that, you know what, you'll have arguments or strifes or controversies, things to nitpick about. Look at your heart, the condition of your heart, and say, Lord, is this where you want me right now? Is this what you want? Is this agitating and stirring me up inside? And Lord, if it is, Satan does a great job of bringing quarrels and strifes and arguing, nitpicking. And if that's going on, that's a time out. I'll say, share another story from Bible college. I went to Seattle Bible College as well. That was the one I mainly went to for 4 years, a little Bible college. And I lived in a dorm there, and after about the second year, they got into studying end times eschatology. And it would be in the little area where we would eat food around the table. And we had these guys that were on two different sides of the camp. Some believed this, and the other guys believed completely the opposite. And I was like, watching the ping pong ball, these arguments going back and forth. I finally didn't leave the Bible college, but I left that table. And I finally left that conversation, and I just said, I'm done. I'm not going to participate anymore. And it was probably the best thing for me, because I'm like, that's not what I came here for. I came to learn about God's word and not to hear this almost vicious arguing and yelling and rah, 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 rah. It's like a cat fight, a dog fight, more like. When that is happening, church, just step back. Step back from it. Amen? And say, Lord, there's a proverb. I don't remember where it's at. You'll be super smart if you can find it. It might be in chapter 26. I don't remember. But it talks about that someone who takes a dog by the ears is comparable to somebody who gets involved in a strife or a quarrel that doesn't belong to them. Someone who grabs a dog, let's take a Rottweiler, and they're going to grab that dog by the ears, is comparable to someone who gets involved in a strife or a quarrel that doesn't belong to them. What's the answer? You know, I don't need it right now. I am not going to get involved in that in Jesus' name. Why? Verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, be quarrelsome, but be gentle, able to teach, patient, meekness instructing those who oppose themselves, if God perhaps will give repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they would recover themselves from the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so the condition of the heart to say, Lord, I want you to dwell in my heart, Lord. And Lord, if I have a striving or a quarreling heart, God, Lord, I ask that you would somehow protect us from that, God. Lord, you turn on the news, you look at media on the internet, it doesn't matter. I realize that there are very serious issues right now going on, but Lord, it is even in the church, sadly, often. It's in families, in homes, in marriages, Lord, I hear about it. God, where people are arguing and quarreling and it's just escalating, Lord, I pray that you would protect us, Lord, from a striving, quarreling, arguing heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give us a gentleness, Lord, that we would know, Lord, how to, if we need to be in the middle of that situation, how to diffuse it and how to answer it. Lord, that you would bring peace in Jesus' name. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, I believe, Matthew chapter 11, we're going to wrap it up here pretty quick. Oh boy, we are going to wrap it up quick. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. And 30. And Jacob, these will be the last three verses you'll read for tonight. Thank you for reading, by the way. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And as he reads it again, I'm just going to state this. God's dwelling place in our heart, the condition of our heart, will often determine how we experience God dwelling in our heart or not. Whether we are aware of him or not, I don't believe that he's forsaken, that he forsakes you every time that you say, if you blow it or you just lose your temper or something. Oh, okay, you're not a Christian anymore. You lost your temper. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the awareness of God. Like, Lord, just that peace. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 11:28-30.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give to you is light."
A restful heart, a humble heart, a lowly heart, a gentle heart. Thank you, Jacob. Jesus, he's the Son of the living God. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is majestic. He is awesome. He is completely just. He is completely true. And it's, to me, it is startling to think that this God that we serve, that he is also meek and gentle and lowly in heart. Do I realize and acknowledge that there's other verses that say that, hey, our God's a consuming fire, and our God someday will bring judgment and justice to this world? Yes. But in view of the fact of how we see how power corrupts the heart of man, well, God has absolute power. He is sovereign. He is absolute. And the view of how amazing the heart of God is, and that's what he wants to share with us, that we would share in that heart, was here, he is all-powerful, almighty. He is all-knowing. He has complete infinite knowledge. Can you imagine how infinite knowledge would corrupt the heart of man? They want to do that today. They are trying to do that. Well, God has infinite knowledge, and he has infinite knowledge of the motives of every heart. If he wanted to abuse that knowledge, he'd be the first one who could. But Jesus says to us, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord Jesus, I pray for every precious saint of God, both present and those watching, Lord, that you would give us a restful heart in you. Lord, we can't find rest in this world, but Jesus, we can find rest in you. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to take your yoke upon ourselves, that we would learn from you. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to grow, to become more in awe of you, Lord, in your awesome wonder, that in spite of all the power and the knowledge that you have, your infinite majesty, that you are meek and lowly in heart, that you are gentle. Lord, I pray that you would deposit that, God, in our hearts, Lord, that it would then become a source of strength and stability in our lives, Lord, in these very tumultuous times. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon every person here right now. Lord, we want your dwelling place to be in our hearts. Lord, we know that you don't forsake us, you don't abandon us, but God, we just want to be more aware that you are with us. Lord, for those who are going through great difficulty right now, some are going through cancer treatment, some are going through hospice care right now. God, I pray for a greater awareness of the presence of God. Lord, that you would bring comfort and renewing and strength to them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, Lord, all things for our good, for your holy and eternal purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for coming this evening. If you need prayer, as always, we're privileged to pray with you at the end. Thank you, Steve and Charlene, for leading us in some worship here this evening, and we'll hope to see you on Sunday morning. Otherwise, have a good week and stay blessed in Jesus' name.